Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. 14 minutes past 11 o'clock. New York Folklore's newest exhibit is celebrating 80 years of New York folklore. That's getting ready for their 25th anniversary party that is coming up. New York Folklore has quietly served the folk arts field from their J Street office in downtown Schenectady. The gallery and shop host exhibits, receptions, and lectures regularly. The gallery's current exhibit traces the history and legacy of New York folklore using interpretive panels, artifacts, and contemporary work by folk and traditional artists. As the service organization for folk and traditional art in the state, New York Folklore has collaborated with many communities and artists over the years. The exhibit spotlight just a few of these people and their work. And you can find an Afghan dress, metalwork from Ecuador, much more. The New York Folklore Society was founded in October 1944 at a meeting of the New York History Association at the Albany Institute of History and Art. The exhibit will run through November. New York Folklore will be hosting an 80th birthday celebration on September 21st from 11 to 5 to take place in downtown Schenectady's J Square. To tell us more, we welcome Ellen McHale, Executive Director of the New York Folklore. Hello, Ellen.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, good. It's very nice to have you here. Thank you very much for being with us. We also welcome Anne Rappaport, who is Staff Folklorist, which is one of the cooler titles I think you can have in this region. And congratulations for being with us this morning. Okay, so we have two things going on here, Ellen, but before we get to those, let me begin with you and just talk about New York folklore and what these big dates mean.
Well, as you said, we're 80 years old, so this is a big anniversary for us. We began in 1944, really coming out of early civil rights initiatives in New York State. So we are really proud of that heritage of importance of cultural equity and inclusion. And so our celebration will showcase many of the artists with whom we work, who are representing diverse cultural traditions throughout the state.
How should we define folklore?
I was afraid you would ask that. Folklore is defined not by the product. Like, you can't say that's folklore or that object is
right.
A folk art object, but really through the process of how someone begins to make an object, how they learn it, who they interact with. Folklore comes through communities. It comes through family and sharing from one person to another. So many things can be folklore that you may not think about, but because it's the process of learning and sharing and presenting as opposed to the actual thing itself.
So a lot of it is the story.
Well, it's the story, but it's also
the sharing.
The sharing. So if I tell you a story and I read that story in a book, it's not really folklore. But if I sat with you and you told me the story and then I heard it again and I took it into my own self and then I told it, then that's much more of the folk art process.
So we often hear, according to folklore, right?
Right.
So, but that's sort of what has come down to us.
It is. And it is the repetition. So sometimes people discredit that repetition, but really folklore, you can say that's only folklore, but there is a kernel of truth and within the telling or the sharing of a story, and that's in regards to a story, there's always a kernel of something that's true and real.
And Rappaport, when I asked that question to Ellen, you smiled broadly. What do you make of the definition of folklore?
So, I usually give a list when people ask me that question because it is so hard to define, and I try to make the list as broad as possible. And I always get people surprised at some of the things. So, I've got a list here, actually, of some of the things, of some of the traditions and the folklore that we work with, and that's metalwork, traditional Greek iconography, that's henna, that's storytelling, that's rituals like a bar bat mitzvah or a communion. You know, it's vast. And the thing that I think always gets people excited and surprised is foodways traditions, because that's the thing that people are most familiar with when you talk about transmission between people. You know, if you're in the kitchen and you're watching an elder cook, that transmission is, that's the folklore, and that's what makes the food traditional or a folk tradition.
And is it, how do I put this? So you obviously know what it is. So how do you then get the audience to know what it is by presenting it at New York Folklore?
So I think what we do the most is we ask people to identify it in their own lives. We say, you know, is there something that you do during the holidays? Is there a food you eat on Christmas? Is there a story that, you know, grandpa tells every year only on this day? And I think that's the best way to do it, is ask people to reflect on the ways they see it in their life in a way that it's not just dismissed, right, as an old wives' tale or just folklore. We ask them to look into their lives and bring out the things that are important to them.
And everybody has folklore in their life, so everybody can find a resonant piece, whether it's the food ways, because everybody, a lot of people have family recipes. Occupations have folklore and folk craft traditions that come through them. So everybody can find a piece that resonates with them if they think about it.
How regionally representative is it?
It's very regionally. We work in New York State. So right. We work, for example, with Adirondack Fiddlers. There's a regional fiddling tradition. There's a Catskills fiddling tradition. There are certainly an intersection of landscape and culture that it has a regional basis. But we also work with a lot of newcomers to the region. And so we say, if you are from wherever you're from and you bring your cultural traditions with you, that's part of New York folklore. So we certainly look at regional traditions, but we also look at heritage that comes from other places, and then that we're here all together, and you're part of New York folklore.
So the celebration happens September 21st, just a few days, from 11 to 5 in downtown Schenectady's J Square. Tell us, Anne, about the celebration, how it comes to be, and ultimately it's a blowout.
Yeah, so it's going to be a big one. You know, we are hoping to see a lot of our old friends. As you said, it's our 80th, so we are going to have a lot of people who have been with us for a really long time. And we're also going to have some of our newer partners, collaborators, and friends there. So we're hoping that we get to mix a little bit of everything. The birthday party itself came out of these past few years. We've done the Mohawk Hudson Folklife Festival, which has been great and has been in Albany. And this year we said, no festival. This year we're gonna make it a birthday party. And that's what we've done. And like I said, we're going to have people who we've worked with for a really long time. So one example is a Greek iconographer. If you've been in St. Sophia's in Albany, you probably have seen the work of Altin Stoya. So he's going to be there. We've been working with him for about 4 or 5 years. And then also we're going to have some newer artists with us. One of them is Paul Hage. He is a... he plays a variety of Arabic instruments. He's Lebanese, and he's coming all the way from Buffalo. And we've just started working with him in the past year.
Wow. So a lot going on.
A ton.
That you'll be packing in from 11 to 5 p.m. Ellen, why is a celebration like this so important?
I think for us, we fly under the radar a lot. So it shines a light on New York folklore, but it also shines a light on the artists and the communities with whom we work, who also often fly under the radar. And so it's really an opportunity to celebrate the folks who we feel should be made more, people should be more aware of the many different cultural traditions that we have here in the Capital District especially. So it's a good opportunity to just say who we are, and please come and celebrate with us.
I noticed in your press release, it says New York Folklore has quietly served the folk arts field from our J Street office. The word quietly struck me, but that goes beyond the below the radar.
Yes. Yes,
and but do you want to be quiet, or do you, or do you, or do you want to raise
no,
hell?
No, we want to.
Okay,
we don't want to be quiet, but we are. People say, "Oh, I don't know about you," but
yeah.
We are. We work statewide. We work in about 9 to 14 different counties right now. We have a small staff, but we're pretty. I think we're pretty mighty. So we don't want to be quiet. No.
What do you think it is about the subject of folklore that allows it to be under the radar, as opposed to something that, because it seems, my guess would be that we take it for granted, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that the problem?
I think so. I don't know. Anne, you were shaking your head. Do you want to?
Yeah, I think part of it is that it's the art of our everyday life. So a lot of people don't necessarily consider it the same way they might consider art with a capital A, the ballet, the opera. So it doesn't usually get that that kind of attention. And because for so long people say, oh, it's just folklore. Oh, it's just this. It's an old wives' tale. You know, it doesn't necessarily get that sort of attention. I think a few other reasons. A lot of the time when we're talking about these traditional arts, one, we're either talking about something that has been mastered by an elder. And, you know, we're not always paying attention to our elders. And the other reason maybe is because we're talking about a lot of women's work, which also doesn't get a ton of appreciation in this day and age, or really ever. So that's I think part of why we fly under the radar in terms of our work. I think another reason is, as a small staff, we are we're down in the weeds a lot. We are constantly meeting with artists, and we're getting to know communities, and we spend a lot of our time there and not as much time on the marketing aspect. So a little bit of a fault of everybody, I think.
No fault. But in the sense that you are spending a lot of your time, from what I'm hearing, a lot of your time doing the research and finding out what the folklore is,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously very important.
Yes, field work is part of our discipline. We interview, we talk to people, and that connections, those connections are pretty sustained over time. So yes, we do a lot of we're out there in the community meeting people and meeting communities.
What do you see as field work in?
Oh, field work is honestly the best part of the job. Field work is, it's going out into the field. You know, you're driving, or maybe you're walking because you're in your own community, and you're interviewing folk and traditional artists. You're interviewing community leaders. You know, occasionally you set up the interview, you go, you sit down, you hit record, and you have a really great interview where, you know, no matter what you're focusing on, you're really giving your interviewee the time to talk. But sometimes field work is just walking around the corner, and you know, you notice that your neighbor has something hanging in the window, or you see something that says, huh, there's something more to this than really what you're looking at. And that's what it is.
Well, there is a lot going on. Let me remind you once again that New York Folklore will be hosting an 80th birthday celebration on September 21st from 11 to 5 to take place in downtown Schenectady's J Square. And you can find out more information by going to nyfolklore.org, nyfolklore.org. Ellen McHale is the executive director of New York Folklore, and Anne Rappaport is staff folklorist. Thank you so much for being with us, and have a beautiful event.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Be well. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.